book of Acts this morning, Acts 27, and we're looking at verses 21 through 25, and we'll look at a couple of other verses in the passage. This is a great chapter in the Bible, and preached from many, many times, over and over again. But today, a different message for us. I've preached myself from this passage before, but today a different message, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you in your heart this morning. Acts chapter 27, and we're going to read verses 21 through 25. And if you'd please join me on the even-numbered verses as we go down through these five verses, that'll be great. Okay, let's stand together in honor of God's good book. And we're reading now Acts 27, and we're reading beginning in verse number 21. And you join me on 22 and 24. Here's what the Bible says. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Lord, thank you for this passage in the Bible. Thank you for your book. Thank you for what it is to us, what it means to us, God, what it does for us. And we come this morning with a receptive heart, a listening ear. Dear Spirit of God, inside many of us who are born again into God's family, would you please quicken our listening this morning and anoint our listening and help us to hear exactly what we need to encourage our hearts. Lord, I pray for some this morning and maybe in the room here who've never been born into God's family, unsaved. And I pray they'll listen carefully, that the Holy Ghost will have their attention. And Lord, that you'll speak to every person in the building. Thank you for the privilege to have church. Thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord, the enthusiasm. And Lord, just the blessings that you've bestowed upon this ministry. We are not deserving. We are very grateful for your goodness. And we love you today. We only can say that because you love us first. And so we pray that you'll be with the message and the song. In Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you, BC.
Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again, to see if you will.
Aren't you glad for the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God? You know, I feel like God was so gracious to me. I feel like He spoke to my heart so many times before I got saved. And I kept turning a deaf ear. I really feel like October 15th, 1975, when God just nailed me with conviction. I really feel like that was it. I really feel like that's the last time God would have come to me in mercy and tried to draw me to Christ. And friend, if the Spirit of God's been working on your heart trying to draw you to Christ, sometimes it doesn't happen the first time. I was talking to a brother in the church last week and said he worked on a fellow worker, worked on a co-worker for 9 years before the man got saved. 9 years is a long time. God knocking on the heart, God knocking on the heart, God knocking on the heart. You know, but there comes a day when God quits knocking. Boy, you don't want that, do you? No, sir. So God bless you, Tom. Good song this morning, and I hope that spoke to your heart. In verse number 25, Paul says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." So I want to speak this morning on the subject, cheer up. Amen? Cheer up. Looks like some of you could use it this morning. Cheer up. Okay? The way some of you look this morning, you think we live in Russia. And in Russia, when I was over there visiting Brother Oswardy, you know, their demeanor is like this even when they're happy. "How are you? I'm great. How are you? It's a beautiful day. Oh, absolutely beautiful. Oh, it's a very good day. Yes, it is." They like that all the time. Some of you act like you came to church in Russia. Did anybody tell you this morning that we still live in America? Amen. And we got to, you say, well, yeah, but it's what? It's great to live in this country. God has been so good to us. And so here we are. Cheer up. All right. God maybe designed it this morning for our hearts. So here we go. Lord, bless us. Help us. Thank you for the privilege to preach your book, your infallible word. And I pray that you'll take it, minister to our hearts this morning. Oh, Lord, if there's somebody in the room and you've been dealing with them, God, time after time, you've knocked on the door of the heart. I pray they wouldn't say no this morning. Would they come and say yes to Jesus Christ? Help me today, oh God. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Cheer up. Here we go. Paul had watched as this voyage had gone from bad to worse. Originally, he had advised these people on this ship not to launch as he sensed that trouble was looming. You understand, Paul was a prisoner on this ship. He was headed to Rome, okay? He had appealed his case to Caesar, and so he's headed to Caesar to stand before, headed to Rome. He's headed to Rome to stand before Caesar. But he told them, look at verse number 10, you can see what he said in 27:10, and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." So he warned them. He said, "I don't know about this." Now, his advice was not heeded. I am sure that he was labeled an old kook. I am sure that he was called maybe a pessimistic old man by those who were around him. And so they ignored him. And it wasn't long until those on the ship with Paul began to realize how right the old kook had been. In verse number 14, in your text there, verse 14, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind." So there came a tempestuous wind. They must have been sailing somewhere in the state of Illinois. Amen. A tempestuous. I'll be on the Kankakee River or the Illinois River somewhere. But a tempestuous wind. All right. Now, that adjective there, tempestuous, that sounds bad, doesn't it? I mean, you don't go around saying, "Man, the wind's tempestuous today." You go around saying the wind's bad. Tempestuous? I can't even say it. Tempestuous? That sounds mean. And it was mean. Because it goes on in verse number 15, the Bible says there, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind." So the wind caught the ship, and the mariners lost control of it, and they fought like crazy to get a handle on it. I'm not going to take the time to go through all these verses because my text is later on. Just giving you the setting of the story here, okay? Tempestuous wind. They lose control of the ship. They're fighting like crazy to get control of the thing. It's out of their control. In verses 17 through 19, I won't take time to read it all, but they feared shipwreck. The Bible says they were exceedingly tossed. I bet that's not all that was tossed. Anyway, they were exceedingly... You ever been seasick? I was one time. Mercy days. Ooh. They were exceedingly tossed. I can see that ship. Up and down and up and down. If you ever... There's no sickness like seasickness. You heard the ad. You heard people say he was green. So green. Look, that you literally turn green. I mean, it's a greenish thing. It's nasty. All right? So the ship is being exceedingly tossed. They throw all the unnecessary items overboard. No doubt the boat, the ship, is taking on much water. These are seasoned mariners. These are seasoned sailors. And in verse number 20, their means of pursuing a clear direction were totally invisible. Look at verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, that's how they navigated. Their compass was the sky. So they got no sun. You know, if you don't have a compass, you can just look up in the sky. You can look up yesterday and you can tell which direction is north, south, east, west from where the sun is. Okay? So they got no sun. They got no stars. If there's no stars, they got no moon. It's all covered by storm clouds for days, the Bible says, many days. The sun and the stars and the moon didn't appear for many days. They finally despaired and they resigned themselves to shipwreck and to death. Then, the old kook, the little irritating, pestilent man, had not been seen or heard from in many days. You see, you know, after Paul tried to get an audience with those mariners and could not get an audience with them, I think he went down into the belly of the ship. He went down into the hold, and he was tucked away in a little room down there. He was having an audience with one who would listen to him. He's down there praying. Now, he hadn't been seen or heard from in several days. And finally, he pops up in verse number 22. And he says to them in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." So he comes out of the deck, and here's these despairing, fearful men who have resigned to death. And Paul comes out there, no sun, no stars, no moon, storm clouds. He comes out, and the first thing he says is, "Cheer up." Don't you hate people like that? Cheer up. And then he repeats it in verse number 25. "Hey, everybody, cheer up." He says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." He says, "Hey, everybody, I want you to cheer up." Now, I would bet that this time there were some who did not dismiss his words as those of some old kook, because it had already been right once before. So they're listening, but I'm sure they're a little bit, a little bit suspicious of what in the world this guy's been into. We've thrown everything overboard that we didn't need. We have no compass. We're going to die. And he's telling us to cheer up. Now, I want to bring that same exhortation this morning to all the people of Faith Baptist Church, to all of you who are visiting with us. I bring the exhortation to all of us this morning. Cheer up. Cheer up. Hey, look, I understand this old country. Let me tell you how this thing came to be. We're on Wednesday nights, we're studying a survey of the Bible. We're going through the Bible, book by book, one Wednesday night per book. And we get interrupted from time to time. That's okay. And we've been in the minor prophets. So we've been in all those books from Amos to Joel to Jonah to Micah to Nahum to Habakkuk to Zephaniah last week, I think it was. And, you know, there is a repetitive theme throughout the minor prophets. The repetitive theme is judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And this past Wednesday night, it was the John the Baptist of the Old Testament preachers. It was Zephaniah. The first words out of his mouth were, "God's going to consume everything." That's the first thing he said. He didn't say, "Good morning, how you doing?" He didn't say, "Cheer up." He said, "God's going to consume everything. God's going to consume the land. God's going to consume man and beast. God's going to put away. He's going to just drop the hammer on everybody." That was his message. And that is a repetitive message throughout the minor prophets. And I've been paralleling that message. I've been paralleling past Israel and Judah with modern day America. There are so many parallels between Israel and Judah in Old Testament times and the United States of America today. Now, we didn't replace Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people, still God's chosen nation. It ought to really concern you that our president has been in a rift with the nation of Israel. It ought to really concern you. Made them feel like chumps. That's dangerous. And so I've been through these Bible studies. I was talking to a teenage fellow on Wednesday night after the service, one of our good boys. I said, "How does that stuff hit you?" He said, "It scares me." And I don't blame him. He said, "I think about job and marriage and career and the future." And he said, "To see this thing happening in front of our very eyes. All earthquakes, I mean, a new earthquake every week. You've got a volcano spewing ash all over the place out there in the Atlantic Ocean. It's incredible. It's incredible. I flew to Long Beach on Thursday afternoon to preach for Joe Esposito Thursday night, flew back Friday morning. The guy picked me up at the airport, took me to the Holiday Inn. I'm on the 11th floor, and when I go to push the elevator, it doesn't work. I got to go to the 11th floor. I got 15 minutes. I got to meet Brother Esposito back downstairs. I got 15 minutes. And so I hoof it up 11 floors and put my stuff in the room and back down again. And there's Brother Esposito. We eat a salad together, come back 1 hour later. And then the elevators are working. And I said, oh, I'm glad to see the elevators are working. She says, yeah, we had a minor earthquake. And it threw the elevators off. I didn't feel it. I was in the air, you know, out in L.A., minor earthquakes, nothing to talk about. And so I've been talking about all this on Wednesday night, and I thought to myself after Wednesday night's message, I thought, you know, after talking to that young man, I thought, you know, I want to say to all of our folks this morning, you know, this old country has gone from bad to worse. This administration has fast-tracked our country into socialism. It has brought attention to a false god, Allah. There's no doubt about it, folks. Our country has lost its way. It is tossed and thrown around on the tempestuous winds and seas of humanism, and yet with full assurance, no psychological babble, no pull myself up by my bootstraps psychology, with full assurance, I can stand and say to you this morning, cheer up. Cheer up. Like Paul of old, I can stand in this pulpit this morning and preach to the people in 2010 in the midst of a horrible storm, be of good cheer. I want to say to you men this morning, you husbands and dads, you know, you're attempting to support a family. You're facing an uncertain economic future in some cases, and your job. And I heard from a fellow in the last 7 days, and his job is tenuous, the situation where he works. And, you know, we're not out of the woods in this thing yet. Hey, you guys have a family. You look at those little mouths or those teenage caverns to fill. And, you know, you think to yourself, goodness gracious. And, I mean, the future's out there and you wonder, you know, what's it going to be like? I want to say to you this morning, sir, cheer up. Cheer up. No doubt. No doubt. Cheer up. Wives and mothers, you're anxious. You're doing everything you can to be thrifty and operating a home on a limited amount of money in some cases. And, you know, trying to clothe the children and feed the children. You educate the kids. And, you know, I want to say to you this morning, it's a little stressful, a little heavy, but cheer up. Cheer up. I want to say to the young couples here this morning, you're starting a family. You're trying to buy a house maybe, and, you know, you're getting started into a career, and, you know, you're just getting into it. And you wonder, my goodness, where's this? What's it going to be like? Cheer up. I want to say to our college-age students this morning, waiting for a spouse and finding your way into a career or the ministry and decisions to be made, attempting to settle on your own. I want to say to our college-age this morning, cheer up. Cheer up. I want to say to our teenagers, like the young man I talked to last week, listening and you're watching and you're wondering and you're thinking to yourself, where is this thing going to be when I graduate and college and job and marriage and future? I want to say to you this morning, cheer up. I want to say to the elderly in the room this morning. I want to say to the elderly. The elderly whose health is less than good. The elderly wondering how it will be when for your grandkids. And for your children who are rearing your grandchildren. And then you wonder about, is this how I'm going to end up? Am I going to end up in a nursing home? Am I going to end up sick? What's going to happen to me? What's the future going to be like? I want to say to the elderly this morning, cheer up. I don't mean be silly. I don't mean be laissez-faire, careless. Que sera, sera. There are ways to be prudent. There are ways to be smart, folks, and be wise. But people, cheer up. Look, we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. Do you understand what kind of a mess these folks were in when Paul said, cheer up? This is not a fable. They have thrown everything off the boat. They figure, we're going to die. And here comes this fellow from the bottom of the ship. He's a little pestilent guy, kind of a kook. And he steps on the deck and he says to all of them, cheer up. Humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible. There they were going to die. And maybe he did sound crazy, but friend, I want to tell you this morning, I don't sound any more crazy this morning than Paul did on that ship when I admonished God's people, cheer up. Don't lose your smile. Don't lose your joy. Replace the long face with a cheerful face. Cheer up. Cheer up. Enjoy your life. Cheer up. Now, let me ask you, here's what I want to look at this morning. Yes, okay, what in the world gave this man, what did he know? What happened to him that he could step on board the deck of the ship and say, cheer up, when they're being tossed like this, when they're throwing everything off that they don't need, when the mariners have said, that's it, we're done. What happened to this guy? What did he know? What did he know that they didn't know where he could stand on the board of the ship and say, cheer up? I'm not saying I know things you don't know this morning, but I am going to say this. I will remind you of some things I'm sure you already know. It's what Paul knew. How could he say, cheer up? Number one, he knew this. He knew the ship would sink, but no lives would be lost. He knew the ship would sink, but no lives would be lost. Look at verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. You know what he's saying? He's saying, fellas, you're right. The ship's going down. Ship's going to sink. No hope for the ship. The ship is crashing. It's going to sink. But here's why you can cheer up. The ship is going down. But everybody on board the ship is going to make it safe. Now, I've got a question for you this morning. Are you born into God's family? Are you saved? Do you know there was a time when Jesus became your personal Savior? Have you trusted Christ by faith and received the gift of eternal life? I'm not asking you if you've been to church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you've taken communion. I'm not asking you if you've done some religious deeds, good works. I'm asking you, have you been saved? Have you been born into God's family? If you have, friend, you hear me this morning, America is going to crash. This is no prophet of doom or pessimistic. This is reality. I said, what do we think? We always talk about the end times, the last times, the last times. You think the last times are going to be going up? In the last times, it has to get so bad that one man steps up on the world scene and says, hey, I can take care of everything, and the whole world bows down to him. That's what has to happen. Oh, you shouldn't talk about it like this. It'd scare our children. Realism scares your kids? I'd rather tell them now, folks, hey, America's going to crash. It's going down with all the other nations of the world. But hey, the ship is going to crash. But all who are saved are safe. Safe. Now look, we may have a bumpy ride with a rough landing. You ever landed at Midway Airport? Boy, oh boy. Man, I'll tell you, coming in, unbelievable with that wind blowing yesterday, Friday afternoon. Phew. Coming from L.A. on a previous trip, I had sat with this boy, a nice young man. We'd made conversation, and we came in. And that thing was just rocking and rolling, and I could see his body tense up. He's looking out the window, you know. It doesn't do any good to look out the window. Doesn't do any good. So I said to him, I said, have you ever landed at Midway Airport before? And he said, no. I said, hang on. He said, boy, you're encouraging. I said, hang on. And boy, one time I landed there, they have to come in over those houses, keep their speed up, and then drop that thing down. Wham! He dropped that thing down and the ceiling tile on the airplane came out. I mean, came loose and are hanging there. I mean, look, it may be a rough ride. I can't promise you that's going to be. It may be a rough ride. It may be a bumpy ride with a rough landing. But brother, when the smoke clears, we will be out of here and far from damage and harm. Hey, people. If you are born into God's family, you are a child of God. You are in possession of a living hope that can never be taken from you. Never. And I'm not against you preparing for the future with stocks and gold and silver and whatever else you want to have, friend. But understand, all that stuff can be taken from you. But salvation, the living hope, can never be taken away. In love, God provided a sacrifice for our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. In love, God brought us into His family by leading us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. In love, God forgave our sin debt forever. In love, God wrote our names with indelible ink in His book of life. All of this was the product of His great love. And over in Romans chapter 8, Paul asked the question, who shall separate us? Let me pause. Us does not mean everybody. Us means the saved. Us means the believers. Us means those who've been born into the family of God. He said, who shall separate us from the love of God? And then He throws out answer after answer. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Those sound like rough waters to me. That sound like rough waters to you? Then He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, now don't miss this, nor things present. That's right now. Nor things to come. That's future. None of those things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother, the ship is going to sink, but if you're born into God's family, you are safe. Hey, there's going to be burdens. There might be difficulties. There might be trouble. Tears might flow down our cheeks. Our hearts may ache and break. But friend, cheer up. If we're on a ship that's going to sink, no life that's in Jesus Christ is going to be lost. That's why Paul could stand on that ship and say, cheer up. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. Even when the ship sinks, you are secure in God's love. Number two, there's another reason why Paul could say, cheer up. First of all, because the ship would sink, but no life would be lost. Number two, he could say, cheer up because of the support of the one who stood by him. Oh, I like that. In verse 23. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He could say, cheer up, because the angel of God had stood by him with great support. In the darkest hour, in the deepest of the night, in the moment of despair, in the discouraging time, God sent support. God sent support. Now, I want you to follow me. If you are one who is having trouble with being of good cheer, if you're one whose stomach is nervous, okay? If you're just anxious, you know, because you don't know about the future and how's it going to turn out and how will I hold up and how will my kids do and how are my grandkids going to do and where is all this going? When you look ahead, you see nothing but sadness and misery. Friend, if that's you, you are not factoring in something that is very important. The Bible says that God, Psalm 46, number 1, says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Present. 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 That's now. Present. Okay, here we go. Brother Bragg's over here, and he's looking at, he's a saved, born again man into the family of God, been saved by the trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's a young man. He's got a young family. Baby number 3 on the way here just a little while. Any day now, actually. And, you know, he's still looking. He's looking ahead. He's got little girls. Two so far. Is this a girl? You don't know yet. That's a blessing, amen. Huh?
We're not saying it.
You're not saying it. Oh, okay. You know, but we don't. All right. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. So he's got two girls and maybe one on the way. All right. So maybe a boy. He's looking ahead, you know, and he sees over where Brother Caleb is out here in the future. He sees all kinds of things. Man, how's it going to be when I'm... How's it going to... How old are you, Brother Mike? 27. How's it going to be when I'm 30? How's it going to be when I'm 35? If Jesus stays in heaven and doesn't come back, how's it going to be when I'm 40? And he starts worrying here about things that may or may not happen out here. You with me? Now, God is a very present help in trouble. God is here helping Brother Bragg with today. That's what God is doing. And tomorrow, God is helping Brother Bragg in that today. And when tomorrow becomes today, God is very present. And when tomorrow becomes today, God is very present. And folks, you can carry that all the way out to 15, 20 years. God's already in our tomorrows. When our tomorrows become our todays, He's already there. It's not psychological babble. It's reality. It's reality. Paul needed support then. And in the belly of that ship, with that thing going up and down and up and down, and the mariners crying out and throwing stuff overboard, and Paul down there saying, Lord, is this the day I'm going to die? At that present time, the angel of God came and stood by Paul and said, hang on, buddy, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, thank you, brother. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to happen. The storm, the shipwreck might be ahead of us, but we're not there. When we get there, when our tomorrow becomes our today, the support will be there. He is a present help in trouble. And by the way, not only a present help, He's a personal help. He called Paul by his name. He said, fear not, Paul. I know your name. I know where you are. I've been ahead of you. I was in your tomorrow. I was in your, how do you say that? I was already in your tomorrow before it was to your tomorrow. And now your tomorrow is your today. And I am here. I am ready to help you, Paul. I know who you are. I'm here to strengthen you and support you today. Who couldn't be cheerful with that reality? Who couldn't be cheerful with that reality? You know, I've used this before. And so, but I don't hesitate to use it because some of you have heard it before, but it wouldn't hurt to say it again. I was just down in Lexington, Kentucky a couple weeks ago and saw and preached in the church and was part of the conference there where Brother Fugit is the pastor. What a good guy Jeff Fugit is. Oh, what a good man. What a good man. In, what was he, 18 years of age, he went off to Highland Park Baptist. His dad pastored in Hazard, Kentucky. The Hazard, Kentucky, friend, in the hollers, the hills of Kentucky, where they pipe the sunshine in and the moonshine out. So far back in the hills, they got on a bus as teenagers to go to a McDonald's. They had to go 70 miles to a McDonald's. 70. I mean, you folks would die if you lived that far from McDonald's. 70 miles to McDonald's. They traveled over those mountain roads 70 miles to get to a McDonald's. And when they got there, one of the kids stepped up to the counter and the lady said, where are you all from? He said, Kentucky. He thought he'd traveled out of state. He'd gone so far. His dad pastored in, I think he ran 800 and 900 people in the Hazard, Kentucky. Mary Miracle, you know where that is down there. It's incredible. He went off to Tennessee Temple University when he was 18 years of age to study for the ministry. In his first year there, he worked at the carpet mill over in North Georgia. And he got a phone call one day from his dad, who I want to say was 38, 39. And his dad said, son, I haven't been feeling well. I've been to the doctor. I have cancer. And it shattered Jeff's world. And he left school, and he would have said, they haven't given me many days, they haven't given me very long to live. And so Jeff left college, and he went home to Hazard, Kentucky to be with his dad. He was the oldest of three boys, had two younger brothers, David and Chris, good fellas. They're Kentucky State Troopers, David and Chris, big guys. So he went home, and he spent every hour he could with his dad, His dad deteriorated. I think his dad lived longer than what they thought. 40 years of age. Don't quote me on that. 41, 42, somewhere in there. I think 40 years of age. He deteriorated. Ended up in the hospital. in a coma. And Brother Fugit went to the hospital room, and they came on a Saturday, and the nurses said, you know what, we don't think he'll make it through the night. And so Jeff was going to stay. And he stayed all night by his daddy's bed, in a coma, daddy in a coma, and talked to him and tried to rub his hands, you know, no response, none whatsoever. Sunday morning rolled around, his dad was still breathing, shallow breathing, but still alive. And he'd already decided he wasn't going to go to Sunday school and church. If dad's going to die, I'm going to be here. And then Sunday school time, dad was still alive. Brother Fugit looked at his watch, about 10:45. 10:50, he got nervous. He said, you know what? If my dad comes out of this coma and finds me in this room and not at church, he'll beat me. So he called and got a ride to the church service. And somebody came, picked him up, took him to the church service, and the preacher at the church preached out of Acts 27 and talked about Paul saying, where the angel came to Paul and said, fear not, Paul. It encouraged Brother Fugit. As soon as the pastor finished the message, he didn't wait for the invitation. He left out. He caught a ride back to the hospital, rushed up to his daddy's room, just praying, oh, Lord, please. Daddy's still breathing shallow, still in a coma. He pulled the chair over beside the bed, sat down in the chair beside his daddy, took his daddy's hand, said, Dad, I went to church this morning. It was a good time. Pastor brought a tremendous message out of Acts chapter 27, where Paul was down in the belly of the ship, in the middle of that storm. And the Bible says the angel of God came and stood by Paul. And the angel said, and his mind went blank. He couldn't think of what the angel said. He said, the angel came and stood by Paul, and the angel said, and he couldn't think. His daddy, who had not spoken in days, had not moved in days, opened his eyes, turned his head, and said, the angel said, fear not, son. They're back into a coma. Some of you shaking your head, you heard him tell that. Incredible. Brother Fugit sat there beside his daddy with the tears rolling down his face. I've heard him tell that 2 or 3 times. His daddy never came out of that coma. His daddy died from that hospital bed. Brother, in one of the darkest hours of Jeff Fugit's life, the one who could support him showed up with strength. And that's what I'm here to tell you this morning, friend. Cheer up. When your tomorrow becomes your today, you're going to find that God is a very present help. Cheer up. I don't know, and I'm worried. Cheer up. God's not going to abandon you. God's not going to cross His arms on the throne of glory and watch His people go through all this trouble and heartache. I hate to even mention this, but let me ask you a question. How do you account for martyrs getting burned at the stake being able to sing? Well, that's just the way. Just what? Excuse me, I think you'd be screaming in agony. They're singing while the flames lick their body. That's because, brother, we have a God who is a very present help in trouble. And I'm not saying be goofy and silly. Ha ha, we're all going to cry. No. But I'm saying, dear Christian brother, we serve a great big God, a loving Heavenly Father. You can at least be cheered up. You don't have to be excited about what's happening in our country and world. But if you're a child of God, you can put a smile on your face and cheer up. Yes, you can. Well, I got to quit. Number one, number two, number three this morning, the reason Paul could say cheer up was because the source had never been wrong. The source had never been wrong. Where did this angel come from in verse number 25? Verse number 23, this night, the angel of God. And the angel brought a message from God. The angel spoke on behalf of God. And you know what Paul said? He said, cheer up, fellas. I heard from God tonight. He's never been wrong. He's never been wrong. We have some messengers who've come to us, who have spoken unto us the words of God. We have Matthew, we have Mark, we have Luke and John, we have Paul, we have James and Peter and Jude. And all of these writers have spoken unto us the message of God And I want to tell you something, friend. The source has never been wrong. Never. Not one. You ever been wrong? You ever been wrong? I've been wrong. More times than I want to count. God's never been wrong. Never. Never, never, never. And when we cross into that fair land, and you know what Paul said? Paul said, fellas, cheer up. How can you say that? I believe God. That it will be even as He said. I may not understand it all, comprehend it all, but brethren, I believe God. I believe Him. And brother, He has never been wrong. And when we cross into that fair land by way of that golden shore, if we get to that place by way of rapture of the grave, we won't be there 5 seconds before all of the turmoil and the trouble of this life will be forgotten. Somebody think, well, wait a minute. If the rapture comes or this kind of thing goes crazy before I get married and before I can do this, think of all that I will miss. You won't. You get there, you're not going to be thinking about what you missed. What do we miss down here? Nothing. No. We're going to be in a real place, a fair land. It's wonderful. It's great. It's the promise of God. And He's never been wrong. Never. You know, the only people who really have reason to be on edge right now, the people who really have reason to be fearful, yeah, those whose IRAs are not... I'm not making light of preparation, folks. Do not take that angle on this. The only people who really have reason to be on the edge and be fearful are those who are not saved. Those who are playing saved. Or those who have said so many times, as Brother Tom's saying, Jesus has knocked. And you said no. And now you look at the future and you go, great guns. What in the world? You have reason to be fearful. In fact, you can't face the future with anything but anxiety and fear. Oh, goodness, friend, to be apart from the love of God, to face a future of God's wrath called the tribulation, and then to be separated from God throughout all of eternity, you ought to be anxious. Your nerves ought to be on edge. You ought to be going, and rightly so. All that can change with you this morning. All that can change. You get born into God's family. I'm not saying all your problems are going to be turned around in a heartbeat. Everything's going to turn on a dime in your life. I'm telling you this, brother. When you get saved, you get into God's family, you've got some things to look forward to that people who are unsaved don't have. And it only happens through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Him. Well, I'm gonna just hang on to my church affiliation. And I'm not trying to get you to become a Baptist. I'm saying you've got to become a child of God. And if you're a child of God, cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. Folks, you ought to come to a church. You members here, you ought to be able to come to a church like this on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Even if you've got a heavy heart, you ought to be able to come with a happy smile. You ought to be. God's been good to us. Great day in the morning. God's been so good to us. I mean so good. Good night. So good. We're people of God. Go about your day, every day, day after day, not silly, not goofy, but with a smile on your face. Cheer up. Cheer up. It's going to be all right. You're on the winning side. We've already read the last chapter of the book. Amen? We know how. So that's my wife. She gets a book. She reads about 3 pages. And then she can't stand it. She reads the back. So she does. Drives Cherith and me nuts. Don't read the back of the book. Don't read it. She just ignores us. disobedient, rebellious wife, man. I'm telling you, read the back of the book. I said, why do you do that? I hate suspense. Well, in this case, go ahead and read the back of the book. You know what? And you know what? You know what? She reads the back of the book, all the suspense is gone. She knows exactly how it's going to be. I read the back of the book, and it says that I'm up there in a safe place while all hell's breaking loose on this earth. I'm with God and Jesus. So I think I'll just cheer up. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Let me ask a few questions before we dismiss the service. Give an invitation this morning because, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I'd hate to think that anybody in this room would leave this place today not saved and ready to face the future with all kinds of peace and calm. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I would spend eternity. I am on my way to heaven. I've been saved by trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know that. All I'm going to ask you to do is be honest. Just be honest. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody? All right. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may take your hand down. That's wonderful. Thank God. You look out and you see people who couldn't raise a hand last week raising it this morning because in the last 6 days they bowed their head and trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe you're here this morning. You're not sure. You did not raise your hand just then. You were honest. You didn't raise your hand. You say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand because I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I just don't know. And the truth is, I do get a little anxious and nervous about the future. Yeah, I really do. But I'm not sure that I'm born again. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand? All I'm asking you to do is lift a hand right now. Would you do that? I just want to pray for you. Just put your hand up right back down. Anybody like that? Side to side, front to back, in the balcony, any member, visitor, boy, girl, man or woman. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. That's why if you didn't put your hand up a moment ago, maybe you ought to put it up now. Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand then. I'll raise it now. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody. God bless you. I see that hand in the balcony. I'm going to take your hand down. God bless you. Appreciate your honesty. Somebody else? Anybody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. If you raise your hand just then, I'd like for you to look at me. Just raise your eyes and look at me. God bless you. The most important thing in life is knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you're not sure that you're saved, I sat like you did in the service some years ago, and the preacher had somebody show me from the Bible how to be saved. Face the future, knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. When the music starts in just a minute, people are going to come and pray. I want you to come right down the steps, come right down here, and somebody can show you from the Bible how to be saved. It's the greatest day of your life. You don't have to wait for the music. You can come now if you want to. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just come on. That's right. That'd be great. Love to have you. Come now. Who's here this morning? Say, Pastor Angel, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I've not been baptized since I've been saved. All right. God bless you. If you're here this morning, maybe you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you can come right now while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And folks are ready to help you. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come right now? Let us talk to you about it. Or take that step of following Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. That's wonderful. Would you come while we wait this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll wait for you. I want you to take that first step of that. We're not talking about becoming a member of the Baptist church. We're talking about being obedient to Christ, following Him in believer's baptism. Anybody? God bless you. All right. Christian, cheer up. I don't mean be silly. I don't mean be giddy. I don't mean to not be prudent and wise, but Christian, cheer up. Really. We ought to face all the events of today and all that's going on in the world today with the knowledge of what our God has told us is true. The source has never been wrong. Never been wrong. When I need support, He'll be there to sustain me. Yep. He'll be there. And you know, even if the ship crashes, if I'm saved, I'm safe. Pastor, God spoke to my heart this morning through the course of the message. Pray for me. I believe I could use that. Would you lift a hand this morning wherever you sit? God bless you. I appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Father, thank you so much for your book. Thank you for allowing us to have the service today. Thank you for the music. We were able to sing together. We had a pianist. We had an organist. We had somebody with a digital piano. We had a choir. We have songbooks. We had cushioned pews. We had a roof over our head. We had transportation this morning. Most of us had something to eat today. That was pretty good compared to what the rest of the world gets. Most of us will go home to a nice house or have a good meal this afternoon. Lord, you've been good to us. Besides all the material blessings, oh God, the joy of knowing that we're saved on our way to heaven, help us to cheer up. My, my, my. Yep, the world may be tossing, turning to and fro, like the old ship on the sea, the tempestuous wind blowing. But God, there's no reason not to have the cheer of God in our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now, if you're not saved, my gracious, as soon as the music begins, you come down. Let us show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you need to come pray, you come. And that would be great. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing this morning. Would you come? Let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. Let God have His way. Would you come? Let us take a Bible to show you how to be saved today. Would you come? Would you come, Father, Lord, and believers' baptism today?